You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Thy word is a lamp.
Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's really good to be back here this Saturday evening, giving God thanks and praise for what he has done for us and what he's doing for us during this time. It's really a privilege to be here to bring forth the word of God. God has been so good to us. So he has given us his word, his instruction in righteousness. So we have no excuse because we have the word of God with us to guide us into all truth. The word of God is a lamp to our feet and a light to our pathway. And we just thank God that because of his words today, we will not stumble, but we will continue on this journey, giving God the honor, the glory, and the praise. So we thank God that we are here again to continue in the epistle of James. Last time we finished chapter 1, and now we are going to go into chapter 2 of James. And I trust that you'll be ready with your Bibles to go through this chapter with me as we continue on the epistle of James. And before we begin, let us pray. Father, we thank you for today. We just thank you for your goodness towards us. Thank you for your new mercies. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that you're our faithful Father. Oh God, thank you that we can depend upon you at all times. We can call upon you at all times. You are never tired of us. So as we come this evening, we pray in the name of Jesus, oh God, that you continue to enlighten us according to your word. Bring forth fresh revelation of your word to us, oh God, that we will know how to live, how to please you, how to honor you in our daily living. Lord, we look to you today. Breathe upon us, oh God. Those, oh God, that are already saved, we pray that their lives will be transformed by this word, that their minds will be renewed, oh God, almighty Lord, by this word. And we pray that those that are not yet saved will hear the good news of salvation and come to know you, O God, as Lord and Savior. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we honor you, and we give you glory. As we look to you by faith in no other name but the name of Jesus, and we say amen. Amen. Praise God. We continue in James chapter 2. And we know that this epistle of James was written to the 12 tribes that were scattered abroad. These are Jewish believers, Jewish Christians. It was written to them, but it's also for us now. So as we go into this word, let us see how we can apply these truths to our lives and how we can live this Christian life in a way that honors our God and Maker. We see where James was telling us to know that faith is a practical thing. We don't just say we have faith in Christ and we are not exercising it. We have to exercise our faith. Our faith must be faith in action. It has to be active faith. And we have to come to understand we can't just say we have faith without doing anything about it. But we have to start to practice what we are hearing and to live what we are hearing so that we can truly demonstrate the life of Christ, which is in us. So we want to be doers of the word of God, not just hearers only. When we hear only, we deceive ourselves. So we don't want to be self-deceptive, but we want to know God's word, practice it, and show forth the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ till he comes. So we are going to be starting in verse 1 of James chapter 2. The word of God said, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons." So James was reminding the brethren that as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of glory, he is the one that is filled with majesty and splendor and honor, that we should not show favoritism or partiality when dealing with each other. So James was telling us, don't show favoritism as a believer in Christ Jesus. We are here as ambassadors for Christ. We represent Christ. And if we show favoritism and partiality, what we are saying about our master is that he's partial and that he shows favoritism, and that's not so. So we do not represent him well when we are showing partiality and favoritism among each other. So So let us take heed to what James is saying in these words, and let us come to understand that we have to treat everyone the same. We have to treat everyone the same. We can't show a little one a bit more attention and look out for this one more than the other. We are showing partiality and favoritism. We don't want to be like that, for we don't want to be transgressing God's laws. But let us come to understand that we have to obey the word of God. Verse 2 tells us, "For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there comes in also a poor man in vile raiment." Look at verse 3. "And you have respect to him that weareth the fine clothes, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool." Verse 4, James make it clear here. "Are you not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts?" So James asks the question, are you then not partial in yourselves and are becoming judges of evil thoughts? So James was saying that if we pay special attention to the man that is well-dressed, he's dressed in these fine clothes and decked out with all his jewelry, looking good, giving him the best seat, and the poor man that comes dressed in dirty, ragged clothing, you put him to stand in a little corner. Or you say, sit here at my footstool, sit on the floor. Then James was saying, then we are showing partiality and favoritism. We are showing partiality and we are showing favoritism. James was saying that our hearts are not right, because we are judging between the two characters, and we are saying one is found worthy and one is unworthy. This is evil. James was saying this is not of God. People of God, favoritism is not of God. It is saying, it is implying that God did not make all human beings equal. That's what it is implying. But we want to speak the truth of God's word, that God made every human being equal. He made us in his image and in his likeness. God hates favoritism. God hates partiality. Peter himself, who was prejudiced in some way against the Gentile people in Acts chapter 10, he himself had to admit that God is no respecter of person. So James was saying that if we judge between the rich and the poor, and we treat the rich so well, and the poor we just treat so badly, he's saying that we now become judges, where we are judged between the two characters and are saying that one is found unworthy. He said, this is evil. This is not of God. And people of God, we have to listen to what the Lord is saying to us in these chapters, in these verses, and come to understand that we have to behave in the way that he said we ought to. We cannot show favoritism and think that we are doing well. We're not doing well. Verse 5 said, James said, "Hearken, my beloved brethren." Listen to obey, my beloved brethren. Pay attention to what I'm saying, my beloved brethren. Has not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to them that love him? So James was saying, listen and understand that our God has chosen the poor of the world, rich in faith. So we can be poor in material things, but we are rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to them that love him. We can refer to 1 Corinthians 1, 27 through 29. The word of God said, "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world and things which are despised has God chosen. Yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. Verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. So the Lord can take any poor beggarly person and transform them and use them for his glory. So let us not look down on individuals, but let us come to that place of honoring all of humanity, because all of humanity is made in the image and likeness of our Creator. So let us come to understand that God is not like man. He doesn't see like man. He doesn't behave like man. His ways are past finding out. His ways are far higher than ours, and his thoughts are far higher than ours. So we want to be in alignment with the Word of God. We want our lifestyle, our thoughts, our actions to be in alignment with the Word of God, and come to understand that God is calling us to put away favoritism and partiality from us as we go through the book of the Epistle of James. He's making it clear to us how we should live. Verse 6 of James chapter 2. But you have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? James was asking the brethren a question. But you have despised the poor. He said, do not rich men oppress you? Don't you remember how the rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? They draw you in court over and over. Look on Proverbs 3:31. The wise man Solomon was saying, envy thou not the oppressor and choose none of his ways. So let us come to that place where we understand. Don't be envious of the oppressor. And don't take sides with the oppressor. But know that his way is wrong. So don't choose none of his ways. Don't esteem the oppressor. So James said, don't you know rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? So we have to come to understand, people of God, that we are not to esteem those that are oppressing us, and come to understand that we have to live that life, not showing partiality to some, not esteeming some higher than some, but seeing everyone in the light that God has made them. God has made us all in his image and in his likeness, and we are to treat everyone with respect and with honor. Verse 7, James chapter 2. Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which you are called? So James continued to ask them these questions. Don't the rich people blaspheme that worthy name by which you are called? And when it's speaking about rich people here, it's speaking about people who are rich in material things who do not know Christ. But you can be rich and know Christ, and you don't treat anyone in any oppressive way. So we have to understand that you can be rich and in the material things and rich in Christ also. You can have Christ and you can also be rich materially, but you don't set your mind on things on this earth. You don't set your mind on the material things, but your mind is placed on Christ. So James was asking them the question, don't the rich man blaspheme the worthy name of Jesus Christ by which you are called? And you are esteeming those that are blaspheming the worthy name of Jesus? So James was asking them a question. So look at verse 8. He said, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. James said, if you fulfill the royal law, as mentioned in Leviticus 19:18, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Then James said, you're doing well. Anyhow you fulfill that royal law, you're doing well. And what is the royal law? Love is the royal law, people of God. Love is the royal law. And if we love our neighbor as ourselves, we have fulfilled the royal law and we are doing well. That's what James was saying. And when we look in Romans 13:10, the word of God tells us that love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So when we love people of God, we don't want to do anything hurtful to our neighbors, to those that we come in contact with. So our neighbors is not just the person who live next door to you. Our neighbor is those that we come in contact with on a daily basis. And it should not be in our hearts to do evil to people. So when we really start to love, when we start to apply God's royal law of love in our hearts, then we will start to treat everyone with love and respect. And we won't want to do any evil things to those that we come in contact with. Look at verse 9 of James chapter 2. But if you have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. So James was making it so clear, people of God. James was saying to the saints in those days, and the same word stands for us today, that if we show favoritism, we commit sin. People of God, sometimes we're going on and think we're doing so well, but we're not doing well because we are showing favoritism. We are partial. We have to stop and examine ourselves. So James was saying, if you continue this way, if you continue to show favoritism, we are committing sin and are convicted by the law of love as transgressors. We are convicted by the law of Christ Jesus, the law of love, that we are transgressors. We broke the commandment to love one another as Christ has loved us. We don't want to break this commandment, people of God, but we want to walk in love, true love. Not just saying, I love you from the lips, but our hearts are hateful. We want to truly love. And not only love those that are lovable and those that are kind to us, but we want to be able to love those that are unkind to us and those that have treated us badly. We want to love them also. John 13:34 said, as Jesus spoke these words, he said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. How did Jesus love us? Sacrificially, people of God. He sacrificed his life. He laid down his life for us. How did he love us? Unconditionally, people of God. The word of God said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So he didn't wait till we were good or trying to be good, but he died for us in our sinful state. So we see his sacrificial love. We see, people of God, his unconditional love. We see that he loved with pure motives. So we also ought to love with pure motives. Let us love, giving and not expecting anything in return. So we want to fulfill that royal law of love. And that royal law does not show respect of person. That royal law does not have favorites, but we treat everyone with respect and love and honor because the love of Christ is in us. Let us allow God's love to be expressed through us. Let us have that heart that is ready to receive the love of Christ so we can now be able to dispense the love of Christ to those that we come in contact with. Verse 10 of James chapter 2. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. People of God, it is the word of God. If we keep the whole law and offend in one point, and if we are there trying to keep the law, saying, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, and all these commandments, and if you find yourself doing part of this commandment and you're breaking one, then you are guilty of all. And people of God, many times we try in our human effort to do what's right, but there is something lacking at times. And we can read in Matthew 19, 16 to 22 about the rich young ruler. He came to Jesus and said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, why callest me good? There's none good but God. And Jesus said unto him, keep the laws. He said, I've been doing that, Jesus. I've been keeping all the laws. I've been doing that from a child. But Jesus, but what do I still lack? This man was doing all the right things that he thought he was doing, and but he still feel empty. There was a void in him. He said to Jesus, what do I still lack? Jesus says, go sell all that you have and give to the poor. Show the law of love to those that are in need. Show the law of love. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor. But the word of God tells us that this man went away sorrowful because he could not part with his earthly riches. He loved his riches more than how he loved people. So he was lacking, even though he thought he was doing good by not fornicating, not committing adultery, not stealing and doing all these, keeping all these commandments. He was doing well, but he still lacked something. People of God, many times we are doing well. Our outward work seem good, but we still lack something. We do not have that royal law of love in our heart. We are mistreating those that we come in contact with. And the word of God is telling us today that we are not doing well if we are not fulfilling the royal law of love. The rich young ruler loved his wealth more than how he loved people. And he turned away sorrowful. He would not follow Jesus. Sell all you have, Jesus said, and follow me. And give to the poor and come follow me. But no, he would not, because he knew that he was attached so much to his riches that he could not let it go. The love of God was not in his heart. And people of God, we need the love of God in us so that we can be moved with compassion. We can be moved with mercy towards each other. So God is calling us to that place of coming to that place of loving him and loving his people. James chapter 2 verse 11. For he that said, do not commit adultery, and also do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So whatever you think, okay, I'm good in this area, I'm not doing this, but if you commit another sin, you are still guilty of the law. If you break one law, you're guilty of all. So James was saying, if you fail to keep one point of the law, you are still a transgressor of the law. So no man could keep the law perfectly, people of God. No man on earth could keep the law perfectly. Only Christ Jesus, the perfect God-man, kept the law perfectly. He fulfilled all the righteous requirement of the law. So what we have to do is what? Put our trust in the righteous one so we can be covered in his righteousness. What we have to do, put our trust in the one who is love. Put our trust in love. Jesus Christ himself is love. And when we put our trust in him and when we are led by his spirit, then we will be able to love one another as he loved us. We will be able to demonstrate the royal law of love in our daily lives. So we will go forth showing forth the love of Jesus Christ wherever we go. We will learn to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we will learn to love our neighbor as ourselves. Jesus himself tells us all the laws and the prophets are hung up on this word, love. So when we truly start to love our people of God, we're going to see that change. We're going to see people drawn to us when they see the love of Christ demonstrated in our lives. Verse 12 of James chapter 2. So speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. So James was saying, whatever you speak or whatever you do, remember that the law of liberty, the law of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we will be judged by that law. The law of love, we will be judged by it. For Jesus himself said, all of the laws and the prophets, all that was written in the laws and all the prophecies that came forth, they are wrapped up in this one word. Everything is hung up on this one word, love. For when we love, we won't do no ill to each other. So let us come to the place of walking in the law of liberty. the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, his love for us, his love that kept him on the cross. The word of God tells us, he so loved the world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we too have to learn to love God and love people. For the word of God tells us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. People of God, no one took his life from him, but he laid down his life for us. And he has given us his perfect law of liberty, the good news of Jesus Christ, of his love for us, and how we ought also to love one another. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. So let us stand fast in the truth of God's word. Let us hold on to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us hold on to the good news of God's love for humanity, that he would come and die for us. The word of God said God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Verse 13 of James chapter 2 said, for he shall have judgment without mercy that has shewed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. So James was saying that those that showed no mercy shall have judgment without mercy. And remember that mercy triumphs over judgment. Matthew 5:7 tells us that blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So we have to come to that at that place where we are people who shows mercy. Let us be moved with compassion. Let us have the love of Christ in us, that we will be moved with compassion and that we will show mercy. And remember that the word of God said, blessed, favored are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. We want to show mercy so that we can get mercy from the Lord when we are in need of mercy. For the Lord promises that those who show mercy, they shall also obtain mercy. So we can go freely to the throne room of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace. We can go with confidence because we are walking in alignment with the word. We are walking hand in hand with Jesus and doing his will, loving one another like he has called us to love. He has called us to love him, the Lord Jesus, with all our hearts, our soul, our mind, our strength, and to love one another, love our neighbors, those we come in contact with as ourselves. So we want to love the Lord and we want to love one another like he has called us to. We want to be merciful. We want to be filled with compassion like our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 14 of James chapter 2. He said, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works, can faith save him? James was saying that it does not profit anyone if he says that he has faith and there is no fruit from his faith. Faith is active. It produces. So our faith should always be shown by our actions. God bless you here this evening. We'll stop there for this evening. And we know that this word surely have come forth in such a way that we know that God's people will be transformed by this word. The word of God is alive and active, and it's doing the work in the hearts of God's people. So let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word to us this evening. We thank you for your people who have listened, oh God, and gleaned from this word. And we thank you, oh God, that your word will bring forth change. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And we look to you by faith and say thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend. Praise God.
Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word. Thy word is a lamp. You can reach us at 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy word is a lamp.